Welcome to wherever you are. I'm Ryan McNeil in Toronto, and you're listening to Wicked Little Town, Part 4. This is the final part of my little dispatches for the podcast, the Matinee Cast, and TIFF, the 36th Annual Toronto International Film Festival, happening right now slash last week by the time you're listening to this. Hi, honey.
Hi.
I feel like I haven't seen you in a week.
I haven't.
To those who do not know, Lindsay and I, years ago, stopped any kind of arguments and discussion and fighting and just said, you make your schedule, I'll make my schedule, we'll see if we can line up a few, but other than that, we'll just let the chips fall. And I don't know about you, I think it's worked out pretty well.
I think so. I haven't seen you in a week.
Thank you. That's lovely.
I'm romantic that way.
I know. This episode's going to go a little different from what you've already heard this week, just because we're not coming out of something. If anything, we're actually going into something. We're going into Michael Winterbottom's new film, Trishna, which is set in India. And to celebrate that, we decided to have some Indian food for dinner.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We decided to have some Indian food for dinner at Aroma Cafe on King Street, where we can see the light box right out the window that we're looking at. Instead, we're just kind of going to talk about the film festival experience. How has your TIFF been, on the whole?
On the whole, it's the best TIFF I've ever had.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I've seen 30 films, so it will be my 31st, and I've only seen one that I disliked.
Which one was that?
Mr. Tree, which is
okay.
Awful.
So you're even counting Shame in that? Because I know you're not
Shame?
Crazy about Shame.
I didn't like Shame, but I didn't dislike. I wouldn't say I hated Shame. I hated
You
Mr.
respect
Tree.
Shame.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it. Yeah. I'm not going to say I...
You're not going to say you like it, but you
no,
respect
I did,
it.
No, I didn't like it. There was some shots and a few elements of it I liked, but the only one film that I strongly disliked were last year. There was quite a few, and I only saw 10 last year.
Right.
So out of 30, to only really have the urge to walk out of one is not bad.
That's pretty darn good. I've had a pretty good festival. There were some that were iffy. There's nothing that I really felt the urge to walk out of or anything that I really felt to disdain for. There were two that kind of tried my patience that I wasn't really fussed over. Those being Keyhole, which I've made fun of like no tomorrow since last week, and the Czech animated film, El Wish Nabel, which it was just slow. It was pretty, but it was so slow.
I saw neither of those. I've had some good picks this year.
Yeah. The other cool thing that I noticed about my schedule, I don't know about you, but I think you might have noticed this as well. The back half was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Because usually...
My back half's been a little lonelier.
Really?
Yeah, in terms of selecting films that a lot of people are selecting. Where the first half, I was never alone. I was always with at least 5 or 6 people per screening.
Right.
By the second half, I seem to have...
Okay. But, I mean, in terms of the quality of the films...
Quality of the films, no, it's been good.
Yeah, in the past, the second half...
It's all a bit of a blur to me.
Okay, well, yeah.
Right now, I'm very tired.
In the past, the second half has been a bit of a dumping ground. Like by the time you get past Wednesday, you're kind of feasting on scraps. Whereas, I don't know if it's just they're spreading stuff out a little bit more. They've tried to keep interest in that second weekend by really loading it up with one last screening of everything. And because of that, you know, stuff like Jeff Who Lives at Home was in my second half, and Tyrannosaur was in my second half, and Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene was in my second half. And those are all films that I really, really loved. And even the Pedro Almodovar film yesterday, The Skin I Live In, that was a second half film. And I really... The first few days, I was kind of iffy. I didn't know what I thought of the whole thing. But in the second half, I was actually really, really quite enamored with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you actually are in quite a good position because hours ago, the Audience Award was announced. And this year's Audience Award went to Where Do We Go From Here? Which is...
No, Where Do We Go From Here is the title of a song from Once More I Was Feeling.
Crap.
The Buffy episode. So I appreciate that was in your head.
I
but
see.
That's not it.
What is the movie called?
It's called Where Do We Go Now.
I was close.
But every time I think of that, I actually... Do you know
I
how
see.
The song goes? Where Do We Go From
I'm
Here?
Sure
it's
I
how
do.
It closes out Once
okay.
More with Feeling.
So the Audience Award went to a Hungarian?
No. Close.
I'm so close.
But not at all.
I'm going to bail out.
No, it's not even close. It's Lebanese.
Because that's not even remotely close.
No, I
Lebanese
would
film called Where Do We Go Now?
Yes.
Which you saw, and I did
I
not.
I saw. I actually tried to talk you into that.
I do remember, and I remember seeing that trailer, I remember thinking, that looks kind of good. I just couldn't make it work.
I generally don't watch trailers before TIFF because I like to be surprised. But I had 30 films to select, and I think I had my first initial shortlist was 82, and I had gone down, whittled it down to 33, and I needed to get rid of 3 more films before we made our first schedule, and I was just about to drop that one because it looked like a bit of a downer from the description, and that's the only reason why I watched the trailer, because I was about to drop it anyway, so I loaded up the trailer on YouTube just kind of as a last resort before I dropped it. I saw the trailer, which wasn't subtitled, and I didn't understand a word of what was said, and even without understanding it,
Your Lebanese is not what it used to be.
Yeah, it's not. But I already knew just from the tone of it and just some of the images, that I would love it, so I didn't drop it, thank God, because, and I saw that one by myself. I don't think a single one of my friends, we know a lot of...
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
Yeah, nobody picked it. So I went to that one by myself and I loved it.
What's it about?
It is about a very small town in Lebanon, which is populated by half the population is Christian and half are Muslim. And I guess it takes place at a period where there was a bit of peace. So the two halves of the town, there's mostly women in the town. Most of their sons and husbands have basically killed each other because there's been a war.
Right. As there's wont to be in Lebanon.
Yes. So there was a little bit of peace where the town make peace with each other. They start to gather together, eat in the same place. The women all make friends with, like, the Christians and the Muslims all make friends. The women get wind of the fact that there's shooting has started again outside of the community, and they're very isolated. It's a small town surrounded by nothing, so they're very cut off from the rest of the country. So when the women find out that shooting has started and violence is starting up again, they do everything in their power to keep the men from finding out because they want to keep the peace. So they go as far as bringing in exotic dancers to distract the men so that they, you know, maybe if they're sexually aroused all the time, they won't think about killing the guy across the table from them.
Right.
It's very funny. It's very sad. There's a lot of parts that'll make you cry. There's other parts that'll make you laugh. There's a couple musical numbers. They're calling it a musical. I wouldn't call it that at all. There's not enough of that.
It's a film with musical numbers.
It's a film with a couple random musical numbers, which feel a little weird because there's not as many of them. But it's a very charming film. And the characters in it are really endearing.
Do you know if anybody has picked it up yet? Like, has Sony Classics or somebody picked it up?
I don't think... Well, I know it's... The day that I saw it, it was selected as a Lebanese...
Submission for foreign film for the
Oscars.
May or may not turn into anything, because right now they're still at the long... They're still at the...
Yes.
Every country's picking their title stage. Mm-hmm. We've got a long way to go there.
But, I mean, TIFF's Choice usually goes pretty far.
Yeah. Here's hoping, right?
I mean, Slumdog Millionaire...
Well, it hasn't. Like, there's been some years where it's just kind of withered on the vine. Like, as much as I care for it, Hotel Rwanda didn't get any kind of a bump.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so this is, if anything, this is...
And this is a harder sell because it's a foreign film with no recognizable people in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have maybe the flair that Slumdog had for a foreign language film.
Yeah. So it'll be, at the very least, it'll be interesting to see, not to use the obvious pun, but where it goes from here.
Again, that's not the name.
Where
of the
it
movie.
Goes now, Jesus. That's yes. Right.
If you were a bigger Buffy fan, I would understand this confusion, but you're not. So
it'll be interesting to see where it goes now. I am now, of course, very curious to see it. We had tickets to the film, so we couldn't get in on the free screening. But some of our friends are there, so we'll get a few more reactions. Speaking of our friends, I've mentioned this, I think, once or twice in these podcasts, but if not, I'm going to mention it now. This has been a very different year for us than it has in the past. Last year, we knew a few more people than usual. This is our 10th festival together. Counting the year I met you. It's our 9th, I'm sorry, you're right, it's our 9th together. If you go back to the night I met you, it's our 10th.
Okay.
But it's our 9th together, and we've always brought in a friend or a family member here or there. You know, it's kind of been no more than 4 in a cluster or 3 in a cluster. Last year, we started knowing a few more people.
I don't know that I did.
You knew a few, because you knew people like Bob by then, and you knew people... but I did, like, you know, at the very least, they joined you and I. This year, we have been going to these films. Once in a while, we'll go alone, but by and large, we've been going in groups of 3, 4, 5, 6. I was in a cluster of like a dozen at Tyrannosaur, and I'm kind of starting to feel spoiled because I'm really having fun.
Well, even some of the films that I intended to go to by myself, I would end up going with someone I had met maybe the day before.
Right.
Just some random person that I met through someone else that we know, and then we find it where we have a movie in common, so then I'll save them a seat. I've rarely been alone. Where Do We Go Now is actually one of maybe three that I was actually alone.
Yeah, I think in total I saw 25 by myself. I saw 25 on my schedule.
Pussy.
I know.
I saw 30.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
You weren't writing. I saw 25 by myself altogether, and I saw 4 in total, all alone. Like, not even one other person with me. In the years we've been doing this, it's a new feeling. I really like it. I'm hoping that it's not the last time that this happens.
It is exhausting, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, it is. You know, like, so sometimes you do kind of want, like, time by yourself. You don't want to.
But I appreciate having the friend base.
You know, they're too numerous to name. I would rhyme them all off right here, but it's a group collective of more than 20 people that seem to all kind of move around in 2s, 3s, 4s. It's like the Jets and the Sharks, really. You know, you move in 2s and 3s.
Yesterday was my first experience ever being in a rush line. I actually wasn't rushing myself. I was with my sister, who I already had a ticket, and we were trying to get her in. And the rush people are the nicest people.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
I think they'd be all tense.
No, everybody... There was, like, this sweet old couple in front of us that chatted with us the whole time. I think even after I left and my sister was here by herself, she was like, yeah, we chatted, and they were adorable. Every time we'd mention a film, they'd write it down so they could remember to see it. The guy behind us was super sweet. We were chatting with him. Like, everybody was just... So everybody's hoping to get a film, and nobody quite knows if they're going to get what they're going to see. So everybody... I don't know. It was fun.
This is also the first time that you and I have done the festival at the Lightbox. How'd you think of that experience? Let me actually pause that there. There's two new venues. There's the Lightbox, which was built last year, but you and I didn't see anything there. And there was also the Princess of Wales this year.
Princess of Wales is a disaster. Not because the sound is amazing.
Yes.
And the screen is amazing.
Yes.
But they have not figured out how to run that theater for this purpose.
Correct.
Most of the staff, the two volunteers are a godsend this time of year. They're incredible people. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of them around the Princess of Wales for some reason. It seems like a lot of the... You can tell that they're Princess of Wales staff. They're in their formal attire.
Yeah. Once you get up the steps, like, once you get out of that front lobby, it's all suits.
Yeah, it's all the ushers that would normally work there. And they've been doing this strange thing where there's hundreds and hundreds of people lined up outside. They start taking people's tickets. They open the front doors, but they're leaving the theater doors shut. So then it backlogs, and everybody is just waiting in the foyer. And as soon as they open the theater doors, people are trampling each other to get a seat.
Yeah.
So what was the point of waiting in line when all you have to do is push towards the front of the foyer? It's completely ridiculous. They've roped off all the bathrooms on the main floor because I guess that's just where they're pushing
VIPs
through that area.
Yeah.
It's poorly managed. I don't think they've quite figured out what to do with the place.
What about the Lightbox?
Oh, the Lightbox is beautiful. The lines are a little crazy. A little bit of confusion. They need, because of the multiple floors and just how big it is, I think they needed a few more volunteers than they have in that area.
Yeah.
But you can't complain anything about the theater itself.
Yeah. It's got a very interesting layout because you've got this very, very open lobby, which also houses a ticket seller's line. So you've got, like, people holding tickets and people wanting to buy tickets. Then you get upstairs, you've got this bridge, which is only, like, 5 or 6 people wide. And then the actual area in front of the cinemas is not very big at all. So you can't really put the lines. I think they've handled it rather well, as well as could be expected. Their only little glitch there, and it wasn't even just a lightbox problem, it was a TIFF-wide problem, is it feels like the screenings were stacked up too close together, that everything was running late.
My biggest problem with this festival, technically speaking, is going from theater to theater, jumping between the lightbox and the Elgin, and I've had a lot actually at the Elgin and AMC. I've had very few at Scotiabank, but I can't tell you how noticeable it is when you go from theater to theater that the projection is absolute shit in that theater. It's dark and muddy, and it's just terrible. And even the layout of that theater, the sound, every time they open the doors to let somebody in, you can hear everything that's going on in the foyer while you're watching your movie. It's very frustrating.
Now, did you know, but back to the point of the scheduling, though, it looks like this year they've kind of started this move to forego. The early day screenings. Like, we used to go, you and I used to go to screenings at 8 and 9 o'clock. Those seem to be a thing of the past, whereas they really want to get things going by noon, and because of that, because they're starting...
You went to the 8 and 9 screenings.
I know. Because of that, they're running late, because they're starting later and stacking everything on top of one another, and if one thing runs late, there's this great big trickle down. So, just to kind of put a capper on the recap of this year, if you were to give one vote for the audience award of everything you saw, what gets it? What was your one or your like two or three films that really stood out?
I always have trouble narrowing stuff down to one because you like things for different reasons.
Yeah, okay, so like two or three.
I really loved The Artist. I actually expected that to win the audience award.
Yeah.
Not just because it's a good film, but because it's a silent film and just what it accomplished. I thought it was so good. I also loved Undefeated, which is a documentary about an underdog football team, which I actually was very surprised didn't win the documentary award. Just yesterday I saw the runner-up for the documentary award, which is First Position, which is also very good. It's a ballet documentary.
Okay.
I kind of thought Undefeated was better than that, although I still really liked it.
Okay.
Chicken with Plums from the director of Persepolis I also really loved, although I've heard mixed reactions. Not everybody loved it, but I saw it as a double feature after The Artist, and it was probably the best double feature I've ever seen. Going from The Artist right to Chicken with Plums, it was a great night for me.
Cool.
And all the documentaries in general this year have been above par.
Well, my three, if I was giving out the awards, like the People's Choice Award, we actually agree. The Artist is my number one. In a walk, I would not have expected on night two that we were seeing something so wonderful that was going to stand up for the rest of the week. Because usually by the time we get to Monday, I've changed my mind. I've seen something else and changed my mind. But it really is just a celebration of film, you know, and film history. My number two would be Tyrannosaur, which is a heavy, heavy human drama that is written and directed by Paddy Considine. You know him from In America. He's one of the Andes.
I know he is.
Okay.
I know he is.
Yeah, of course you do. And if I got to go with the number three, I
bumped into him once at my office.
Did you really? Oh, yeah, when he was there filming Cinderella Man.
I don't know what he was filming. It's probably Cinderella Man.
If I had a number three, probably The Skin I Live In, the Pedro Almodovar film. I am actually looking forward to watching it again because I was half asleep yesterday morning when I watched it. But it is amazingly good and really, really twisted, actually. Mm-hmm. You look like you want to add a thought
here. No, I'm just looking at the movies I saw because I'm forgetting some of the earlier ones. I saw a lot of light films this year that were cute.
Okay.
Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, which I just kind of got last minute.
Which is actually about salmon fishing.
It is actually about salmon
fishing. That's crazy.
In the Yemen.
In the Yemen.
In the Yemen.
Okay.
It was actually really adorable, I have to say. It's just a light, romantic, but, you know, if you just want like a fluffy film.
Yeah.
That was really good for that purpose, as well as Damsels in Distress I liked for that same
purpose. That was really sweet.
That was sweet, and even Butter, which I almost didn't pick because it seemed a little...
That seemed too light.
It was very light, and it seemed a little too mainstream because it stars Jennifer Garner, but I really liked it. And also Goon, I loved. You know I love sports movies,
right.
But I loved Goon.
Okay.
I loved it. And what else? I'm just saying, Starbuck was very good as well. French-Canadian film.
Right.
Also known as the sperm donor movie. And a couple that I should also mention, Girl Model, which is a documentary about basically a model. Unbelievable film. Hard to watch, really sad. And Paradise Lost, which I almost didn't pick because I know anyone who knows, it's the third part of a series.
Right.
And it's basically the case that it focuses on has just changed, so they do have to recut the ending because things changed about 3 weeks before TIFF started.
Right.
So I almost didn't pick it because I knew that they were going to
be a rush job.
But I kind of wanted to just see it as it is anyway because it's my only chance to see it with this ending. And the film is so unbelievable and so well done that it's worth seeing, even knowing that it's going to change.
Well, if you're scribbling down these titles at home, I'm going to give you a few more. Since Lindsay took a few more, I'm going to add in just a few and give a thought or two on each. I really, really enjoyed Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, which actually comes out in theaters in just a few weeks. The obvious comparison, because John Hawks is in it, is to Winter's Bone, because it's got a really strong female protagonist, played by Elizabeth Olsen. Like, Mary-Kate and Ashley had just elbowed her out of the way for years, and that's just a crime against humanity, because she's actually really, really talented. And I sincerely hope that she gets more parts based on this. Jeff Who Lives at Home, which was one of the few that we saw together, with Jason Segel in...
Very cute movie.
It's kind of taking the next step forward for Mumblecore. Like, I was kind of getting tired of just people wandering around talking and just kind of telling these very, very low-boil stories. This kind of actually has a little bit more charm to it. And it's got a great cast. Judy Greer, Susan Sarandon, Anne Helms, and Segel. And it is so wonderful. It is really, really a wonderful film. And I really, really dug another one that comes out in a few weeks, The Ides of March, which is George Clooney directing and Ryan Gosling starring as a political drama. Today I also finally caught up with Drive, which I'm sure a lot of people have actually seen by now because it came out in theaters. I don't really know what to think of it because it's really just an exploitation film with a budget. You know, I don't know what it says, like, to like or dislike that film. I just think that film just kind of is. And on the drive over, I was saying I'm a little bit surprised with the gigantic amount of love that film is getting. But we wrap this up the same way I wrap up all the other episodes, and Lindsay doesn't know this because she doesn't listen to my episodes.
I listen to one or two.
Okay. You get an amended version of the five questions for the festival.
Well, you didn't warn me about this, so I didn't put any thought.
That's okay. We do them on the fly, so if you got to think about it for a moment or two, then that's okay. So the first question is, what was the very first TIFF film you ever saw?
Tri-17.
No. You saw something before that.
Oh, I don't count that because it was so unmemorable.
I don't care. Do you?
No, I couldn't tell you what it was about.
Nothing? Just that it was terrible?
The first night that I ever went to a TIFF film, I saw two. It was the night I met you. It was in 2002. I saw Tri-17 starring Elijah Wood at the 9 o'clock show, but I had seen a 6:30 show, and I remember I rushed from one to the other. It was like a Swedish drama or something like that. Completely forgettable. I think it was just some dark... I don't know. I'm just going to say Tri-17 was my first one because it's fun.
Okay.
One, I met you at it, so it's kind of more... It's a more lovely story. If I met you at the first TIFF film I ever saw, don't you think?
Well, now you're just making stories up.
Well, then we'll just pretend like the other one didn't.
What was the last one that you're just coming from? What was the last film you saw?
The last one I just saw was Paul Williams Still Alive.
Oh, yeah.
Documentary.
And that's about the songwriter Paul Williams.
Yes. And he's still alive.
Which is surprising.
Yes.
We weren't sure about that.
It's very good. It's a good film.
I see.
Very well made.
You might have already answered this, but I'm hoping that there's more. What's one of the worst films you've seen at TIFF?
Ever? Or
ever.
Ever. Trauma.
Oh, boy.
You saw that with me. I don't quite remember what it was about. It started... The only time I've ever picked a movie at TIFF because there was, like, a dreamboat in the starring role. It was a movie that starred Colin Firth, and I really love Colin Firth. It was several years ago. I don't remember how long ago this was. And I literally only picked it because Colin Firth started it. I thought maybe he would be there, and I could see him in person because I had a huge crush on him. Not only did he not come, but it was a terrible, terrible movie.
With a lot of bugs.
I think he put a spider in Mina Suvari's mouth. I don't remember why.
Yeah.
But he puts a spider in her mouth.
Which is a big no-no for you.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate that.
I see. I'm almost incurring the wrath when I ask this. But what was the film that screened at TIFF that you wish you could have caught there but you did not? And I'm sure you can probably blame me.
This year?
Ever.
But like even before I ever went to TIFF?
Sure.
I would have loved to have seen Strictly Ballroom.
Ah.
It's one of my favorites.
And it won the Audience Award.
And it won the Audience Award. And I think it was just before I started going.
It was well before you started, because that's a 1991 film.
Oh, well, then I was way too young.
But still, that would have been very cool. Because for that matter, The Princess Bride played TIFF as well back in the day. So, and last but not least, and again, you might have already answered this, but I'm just being presumptuous. What's your favorite TIFF going memory?
If I didn't say the time I met my husband in line, then I would be in big trouble. So I'm just going to say that.
Okay. Well, and that's a famous story now.
Yes. It's a published story as
no
of
kidding.
Today.
Which is a little bit strange.
Yes.
But it is what it is. So I think we can both conclude that this was certainly a tremendously memorable festival. You can say what you want for the actual slate of movies, but as far as the experience of running around, this might very well be the best one I've ever had.
And I've seen good movies as well.
I have. No, I'm not to discount what we've seen at all, because we've seen some great stuff, but I just it seems to me that the experience of it is almost eclipsing actually what we're seeing. It's that whole journey being worth more than the destination, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, that's it for Wicked Little Town for this year. It'll be back next year, assuming nothing changes and I go to 2012. The regular matinee cast will be back next weekend. We'll be talking about Moneyball, and I'll have a come talk to me question up for you folks this week, so you can let me know. And if you have any thoughts or anything, I've got a lot of TIFF coverage on the site. You can leave me comments. I get back to everything. And you can always email me, ryan@thematinee.ca. But for TIFF 2011, and
you don't follow my Twitter or anything?
If you want to follow my wife, which, you know, follow my wife, please, as the old joke goes.
Everyone else who comes on here, you plug their website. I can't help it. I don't have a website.
Where can they find you?
At Lindsay Ragone.
Spell Ragone for them.
R-A-G-O-N-E.
There we go. So, for at Lindsay Ragone, I am at Ryan McNeil. And we'll
You're not at Ryan McNeil, though. You're screwing this up.
Stop it. We'll see you at the matinee. It's a weekend.